Hey, hey, hey. I'm just a life coach with a podcast, but you can just call me J. Nicole. This podcast is mostly about the random things that I call life, with a sprinkle of affirmations, a few things to keep you inspired, and a whole lot of testimonials, but so much more. And they're all from real life situations and happenings. Most of the time, they're through my perspective, but I guarantee you'll understand where I'm coming from. So I hope that you will come, sit a spell, feel better than when you arrived, but most importantly, stick around to like and subscribe. I'll be here on a bi-weekly basis to help you stay focused, driven, following your purpose, but most importantly, to smile. Thank you again for joining me. And remember, you can just call me J. Nicole. Peace and blessings. Hey, Royals. It's your girl, just call me J. Nicole. And yep, I have another episode for you. Within the past 4 years, my family went from having five living generations to four. For myself, my kids were six generations, but now they have five generations. So, yeah. And I've been honored to watch not just my parents grow old, but my grandparents, because my parents started with children early, and it trickled down to, of course, the grandparents. Within the last couple of weeks, I've been having conversations with my grandmother that actually led me to this particular podcast episode and topic. And I think I've spoken about this. And if you follow me on TikTok, I actually started a campaign right after Roe versus Wade was overturned. And it was not to be like, oh my God, I hate it. It was none of that. It was just giving more of an opinion piece, similar to what I do here on my podcast. In the video on TikTok, I mentioned how as a child, I was molested, and I held on to that information for years because I was ashamed. And while me and my grandmother were talking recently, she said something about how her mom was very protective of her when she was a young girl because she began to develop really, really early. And so she was actually sent off to be raised by an aunt and uncle. But she also, Lord, she also mentioned that she never really thought she was pretty. And she had had a conversation with her youngest brother, and she asked him, how did I look when I was younger? And he was like, you were so pretty. And it broke my heart to hear my grandmother say that that's not what she saw when she looked in the mirror. So we're going to talk about colorism, and you guys probably saying, okay, how did we get here? Because colorism and a lot of other things that our elders were subjected to or how they lived their lives continue to plague us from generation to generation. It literally becomes a generational curse, and people act like they're afraid to talk about it and touch it. It's supposed to be taboo for us to talk about it. But in the recent years, especially with the Black Lives Matter movement, a lot of things have been discharged from the trenches that our forefathers and ancestors and so forth and so on have tried to keep them. And I will say the millennials are probably a pivotal group of individuals who have helped us to be more conscientious of just about anything in life now. See, my great-grandmother, my grandmother's mother, was light. She had hair like what we would say, we have Indian in our blood. But she did. She's very petite, very keen features. And she grew up during the era where blacks could pass. And if you don't know what that means, do a little bit of history on just that. You can Google blacks who passed. During that era, if you were bright enough, and especially if your hair was a particular texture, you could pass for white. Netflix, I believe, has a wonderful movie about it. There are several documentaries about it. There was also, prior to that, when we were still enslaved, and when I say we, I mean blacks, where there was a brown paper bag test. And if you were as brown or lighter, you supposedly had been like a really good person. Everyone wanted to be as close to white as they might. And I laugh because that has never been, one, my dream, nor my ability to pass for white. Yet, I was pretty much raised by grandparents who lived lives seeing people, knowing people, and potentially being the people to pass. My great-grandmother went on to have her children, and some of the things that she subjected her kids to, I won't even say that she did it conscientiously. She did so because it was ingrained. And I talk a lot about how, as we are raising our youth, our children, whether they be biological or someone that you're taking under your wing, we can only give them what we have to give. But with that being said, oftentimes what we're giving our youth can also be generational curses. Because my grandmother was subjected to being scrubbed, applying lemon juice from the lemon onto her elbows so that instead of them having those dark marks, they would be just as light as the rest of her body. I've heard my grandmother talk about episodes of being scrubbed with Ajax. And if your neck was darker than the rest of your body, that meant that you didn't clean yourself. I've heard it all. I've heard it all. And as I listen and look at my grandmother, who is light, talk about darkness and the things that she was subjected to, me being a brown-skinned girl, it has weighed on me for years. And I never really thought that it did, but as I've gotten older and I've done my own therapy and I'm raising two handsome, skin-like-butter chocolate boys, I hate to even address their skin tone because it doesn't matter to me. They could have been blue with pink dots, eyes that were as dark as coal, with hair that was as bright as the sun. They were beautiful in my eyes. But yet, when I describe them, I think of chocolate. I even look at my husband, and for years, I feel like she created the song just for me. Brown skin, you get it? You can hear, right? She says in her song, I don't know where yours began, and I don't know where mine end when you're intertwined, but our ancestors have made it so very clear for us to see colorism. As I mentioned before, the brown paper bag test, being able to pass. When we thought us brown-skinned people were popping, the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice, right? But it was always in the back of my head specifically because I had got a chance to listen to stories And I never really understood the weight of certain comments, even nicknames that I was given. My dad's mom would call me her chocolate China doll. And when I was growing up, I just knew China was always placed in like the best place, and it was loved and watched over, and it was only brought out for special occasions. You know that China cabinet that sits in there, and the only time you open it up is to dust things off. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So to be called her chocolate China doll, I literally thought that was like the biggest and the highest honor that she had given to me. But as I got older and I start to hear things like, you must be adopted, because I went on to be raised by my mom and a man who was not my biological father, but raised me, and he is my father by every definition that you can throw at me. And he was light, my mom's light. They went on to have two light kids, and here I was, the chocolate China doll. And hearing someone to even think that I didn't belong to my family, it weighed heavily on me. It didn't matter that my older cousin was a brown-skinned boy and he and I were thick as thieves. It didn't matter that my best friend was a brown-skinned girl, bad as she can be. It didn't matter that there were so many other brown skin or dark skin or chocolate or even blue black, as my grandmother would call the darkest person. It didn't matter that those people were around me, because in my everyday life were the lightest people around me. They had lighter skin than I did. They had different eye color than I did. They had different hair color than I did. And that's what I saw. And although I went through life like, okay, I'm good. I am, just like that saying goes, the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. I'm good. I'm my grandmother's chocolate China doll. I still felt some kind of way due to colorism that was embedded and ingrained in my grandmother, who then, without thinking about it and not trying to place that onto my life, placed that on me. And I can say that it was a direct connection from my grandmother to myself, because I was in her house for a long time. As I explained, mom had me young. We grew up in our house for a little bit. We moved out on our own, but my grandmother was a constant in my child rearing age. Excuse me, in my mom's child rearing ages. My mom had never, ever said anything about color. But she did tell me, like, oh, Granny used to scrub Graham's elbows with lemon juice or lemon, and even make her force her to be bathed with Ajax. And I want to say that even happened to my mom, and she shared those experiences. And I'm thinking, like, why would someone do that? I mean, if you're dirty, you're dirty, but you can't you can't scrub color off of a man. So growing up, I had this liking for a particular hue of a boy. They were lighter. They had that good hair, as we would call it. They had nice eyes. And I did not particularly care for the darker. And it was not because they were not cute, because, oh my God, I can't even call his first name, but his last name. Oh, I do. Maurice Dunn. He was a gorgeous brown-skinned boy at my last elementary school with the cutest little dimple in his chin. Let me stop though. But for me to remember that particular boy tells me, and whoever is listening, how few brown-skinned boys I thought were attractive. It even was surprising when I came home and introduced my parents to my then boyfriend, now husband. The first thing that was said by my mom is, "Where did you get him from?" Of course, not in front of his face, but he was out of the ordinary. He was a far shot from what I've been bringing home or said that I like or into. Because I have been sort of, I was going to say whitewashed, but that's not the proper name. I have been unconsciously trying to think that lighter was better. And as painful as that is for me to say out loud, I can only imagine being the person who was light already and saying that you're still not light enough. It goes back to my grandmother telling me she didn't feel like she was attractive when she was younger, as I have literally mapped out my life to be like both of my grandmothers, who are both women who are light. They were sharp, 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 sharp. Seriously, guys. So back when I was growing up, the ladies dressed properly. As my grandmother would say, they made sure they had on their foundations. There were the prettiest dresses with matching heels, hats, purses, belts, and even gloves from time to time. Oh, I couldn't wait to get old enough to do everything that they did, because they were the picture of perfection when it came down to beauty and class. Ironically enough, I had not seen any of my dark people, brown people, even sport the kind of get up that my grandmothers had. But nonetheless, I wanted to be just like them. Prim and proper, well dressed, and oozing with confidence. The epitome of like feminists. They were very feminine. Smell good, look good, walk with their chins held high. And yet, as I moved from middle school and to high school, I didn't feel very confident. I was this little scrawny little brown-skinned girl with what I thought then was some nappy hair, to the point that I, by the age of maybe 10 or 12, was doing box perms on my own hair. Frying and dying and laying to the side, pumping up spritz. What was the brown one name? I can't even remember that now, but the master cosmetologist. To be young and dumb again. But I did everything because I was like, I need to look a particular way. You know, these people are wearing these fly hairdos. I even started working when I was very young and bought my own clothes because these people were looking a particular way. And those people who look like that, that's who people were attracted to. And who exactly were those people? Just like my grandmother, they were lighter than I. So I end up forming a complex about my skin. I didn't want to be outside too long because that's going to make me darker. Oh, I know it's only been 3 weeks, but I need to run some relaxer back through my hair because this hair needs to be bone straight. Oh no, he's not light enough. I can't date him. I lost my way. To my confidence in a very, very huge pivotal point in my life, my adolescence. So when some little boy thought that I was pretty. I succumbed to being sexually active because, oh, he wants to engage in sex with me. He thinks I'm pretty. Okay, cool. Which takes me right back to my great-grandmother sending my grandmother away because she had developed very early. And as I talked to my grandmother about everything that she talked to her brother about as far as her being sent away and how she thought she looked and how he perceived her to look, it finally dawned on me that the other generational curse that she had passed on was secrets. And so I posed a question. I said, hey, what if your mom was doing that because she felt like people were sniffing around you, because she had been sniffed behind and possibly raped or molested? But we'll never know because Granny's gone. As Blacks, people of color, we oftentimes shy away from having some very hard, very emotional and personal conversations with our loved ones. And when we finally do, that person is either dead or gone, or it's too late to even try to do something about it. I have always been sort of this squeaky wheel where I talk about things and it rubs my family the wrong way. But I try to live with my life being honest and share my truth, because had someone talked to me about certain things, it could have potentially kept me from going down some of the wrong paths that I had chosen earlier in my life. Maybe if my great-grandmother had shared with any of her children that she had been molested or improperly touched, raped, whatever the case may have been, and educated them on that kind of thing, maybe their lives would have been different. Maybe my grandmother would not have been in a state of mind to think that she was just not pretty. And instead of her just showing and sharing information about color and being light and having to scrub herself to be lighter, having to brighten her already sandy blonde hair lighter, maybe the conversation would be, again, what it means to be inappropriately touched. What do you do if someone inappropriately touches you? It's a what if. Which brings me right back to my TikTok video. Please feel free to follow. It's very random, like my podcast. But the what if hashtag that I created for the TikTok video is based on Roe versus Wade and how the overturn of this epic Supreme Court case now wipes out the protection that so many little girls, specifically little girls, and maybe even some boys, now that I think about it, so let me be non-biased or unbiased, it stripped away the protection that especially the women, the girls in this case, would have if they become pregnant by their manipulator, is what I'm going to call them. Because what if I, between the ages of 4 to 10 or 11, I think maybe even 12, have become pregnant? Can you imagine a little girl being pregnant? And I know people are going to say, oh, at 4 you can't get pregnant. Do some of your research. I've heard little girls getting pregnant like at ridiculously young ages because the body is a weird thing. And yeah, 9-year-olds have babies. But why? Why should they be subjected to having to carry on a full pregnancy that could potentially kill them because their bodies are not developed for it? Now, I know that a lot of people are against abortions, and I get it. Because there are so many people out here who just can sniff somebody and get pregnant, and they don't even want babies. They use abortions as a form of birth control and not as an out to being violated. I get it. But as someone eloquently put it, what about those women who, because of a medical reason, require abortions? I remember being 17 weeks pregnant with my youngest son, being in the hospital for 2 weeks because he threatened to come early. And after they had placed a cerclage, which is a stitch that they place on the cervix to keep it closed so that your pregnancy is not compromised, my water broke. 17 weeks. I remember lying in that bed praying. What I think now is the ultimate selfish prayer to God. Please, Jesus, please just let me stay pregnant and give birth to this baby and he be healthy. What part of my prayer was selfish? My sister was pregnant at the time, and I just knew that I would not be able to look at my sister throughout her pregnancy nor her baby without having a twinge of pain and jealousy. And while I'm going through this horrible, horrible course of events, the doctors literally came in and said, "You're threatening a miscarriage. And if this baby comes now, he's not going to be viable. So we are recommending an abortion." The morning that they were to start the quote-unquote abortion, and I say quote-unquote because in the medical field they consider it not necessarily an abortion, but an early pregnancy termination, but via DNC, because this quote-unquote pregnancy could, one, end with the death of a baby anyhow, or the death of a parent. So you're trying to tell me that my doctor can recommend an abortion, but I can't? Just think about that. What if people, and it's been done for decades, allow little bitty girls who have been violated to suffer through a pregnancy that could ultimately kill her? For a doctor to see such things going on and not be able to recommend an abortion, termination of the pregnancy, because it could kill this little girl. There's a lot of what ifs. But a lot of it could be kept at bay. How we break these generational curses. Have these deep conversations, whether it be about colorism or inappropriate sexual activity and advancing and touches. What if we had those kind of conversations instead? We can break so many generational curses. We like to call it that. Generational curses. Why can't we start generational blessings? Generational gifts. Why can't we do that instead? I know this topic has been very, very heavy. It was very heavy for me to have this discussion with my grandmother, and with me being, I'm not an argumentative person. I don't like confrontation, but I am a very opinionated person. It was hard for me to listen to my grandmother, but I wanted to document my feelings And I can't wait, rather, to get to my grandmother to just throw my arms around her. Because she's always been beautiful to me. I aspire to be just like her. It wasn't just the physical look that made her beautiful to me. It wasn't. I hope that the words that I've left here on this episode, they enlighten people to start those hard conversations. So we can end the curses and start to bless our generations in front of us and behind us with gifts, little gemstones, little nuggets, as they would say, so that they can become a better person. And until next time, be blessed. Follow me on TikTok if you want to, but I'll also be on my other social media platforms. Thanks so much for listening. God bless. Hey, 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 thank you guys so much for tuning in. Like you do, I so very much appreciate you being here to listen to nobody but me rant and rave about things that I only feel are important. Nonetheless, thank you again for everything that you do to help my podcast land into the ears of everyone around you. So if you like this episode or any of the episodes or even the entire podcast, make sure to recommend it to some other friends so they can tell a friend and they can tell a friend. And I so very much again appreciate you. God bless.